Welcome to the Recovering Nice Guy Podcast. This is the place for nice guys who are ready to kick the habit of people-pleasing and ditch those self-sabotaging behaviors for good. Now, here's your host, me, Chuck Chapman. If you're a nice guy, pay attention because the information I'm about to share with you may change your life. I believe that there is a huge correlation between the nice guy syndrome and ADHD. Let me tell you a little story. A story about feeling different. Picture this, a young boy in left field. Not just metaphorically, but literally left field. That's where I played Little League Baseball. But instead of keeping my eye on the ball, I was pulling dandelions and playing with the grass blades. My mind was whirled apart from paying attention. My coach would say, get your head in the game. Now, this message followed me not just on the baseball diamond, but in the classroom. I would spend my time in my head instead of paying attention. I was always fantasizing and creating stories in my head. It almost got me held back a year in school, which only made me feel more shame, like I didn't fit in. And that's one of the things about the nice guy syndrome is we don't feel lovable and acceptable just the way that we are. And we don't feel like we fit in. Now, fast forward to a year ago, I stumbled on a bunch of old report cards from my grade school days. And every single one of them had comments like this. Chuck would do great if he could just pay attention and apply himself. Back in those days, the term ADHD wasn't used, but its presence was felt in me because my young self felt the shadow of being different and not fitting in with my peers, which only increased that feeling of not being lovable and acceptable just the way that I am. It's only been a little while since I put these two things together, but when I did, a light bulb went off because what I've seen is a correlation between the characteristics of a nice guy and adult ADHD. I think this video may be one of the most important episodes I've ever done because I believe so many nice guys are grappling with the symptoms of ADHD and not even realizing it. I do want to mention that the evidence I present here is strictly anecdotal. It's based on my limited personal clinical experience, and to date, there's been no scientific research to indicate ADHD and the nice guy have any kind of correlation. Nevertheless, I believe it's something that should be studied further. Before we go any further, please do me a favor, like and subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. By liking and subscribing, you help other guys find this information, and that will be beneficial to them. It's one small way you can help others recover from their nice guy syndrome. So last year, I received the official diagnosis of adult ADHD. Now, I had suspected for a long time. The problem was, I thought maybe I didn't, was because I never really had the hyperactivity part of the condition. On the surface, I'm pretty calm and easygoing, but inside, man, there is this constant battle to maintain focus, to not procrastinate. Also, part of it was I was just in denial, but I couldn't deny it any longer. Because as I delved deeper into the characteristics of ADHD, the diagnosis just became abundantly clear. Here are some symptoms of ADHD. And if you're a nice guy, you may find that you struggle with these things as well. All right. So we struggle to stay focused on what we're doing. We can get easily sidetracked by random things around us. We can forget stuff. You know, things that you need to do in your daily routine, for like example, like where's my keys? We can have a hard time keeping things organized. You should see my desk. We miss little details in things. And because of that, we mess things up. We can get super into something and then zone everything out. We have difficulty controlling our emotions, which lead to impulsive reactions like getting butt hurt. We jump to things without thinking them through. In other words, I might impulsively sign up for a program, a class, a master class, but then later kind of regret that I did it. We get into stuff like porn and sex without really thinking about what might happen afterwards. We can become obsessed with new ideas only to lose interest just as quickly, especially if somebody points out the slightest flaw in your plan. I have a whole bunch of really expensive camera equipment in my closet. You can struggle with managing your time and being able to figure out what's most important or what do you want? You can have a hard time setting goals and actually reaching them in the follow through. You find it tough to juggle more than one thing at a time. You can also struggle with your relationships because, you know, you're not paying attention. Have you ever gotten that from your partner or spouse of like, You're not listening to me. You're not paying attention. We can have trouble talking about things and actually getting to the point, which leads us to over-explaining. We can find it tough to get close to someone or even stick with a commitment. We can also be more likely to use drugs and alcohol as a way to deal with life's difficulties. We can have trouble sleeping or staying asleep. We can toss and turn a lot, and we can often wake up in the middle of the night. Now, one of the things that kept me from believing that I might struggle with ADHD was the fact that I could become deeply, deeply engrossed in an activity that interests me. I mean, I could spend hours researching things. I could spend weeks trying to solve a problem. I would get really interested into something and be almost obsessive about it and then lose interest. What I didn't understand was that my ability to selectively concentrate was a symptom of ADHD, a phenomenon known as hyperfocus. Here's another sign of it that I struggle with: anxiety and depression. In my professional practice, I've encountered lots of individuals who suffer from anxiety and depression. But when we look further, we can see that this stems from the ADHD. When we address ADHD directly, it often alleviates the anxiety and depression. Now, because I was a nice guy and I struggled with these things, I was incorrectly diagnosed with an anxiety disorder and a depression disorder early in my life. I was put on antidepressants. But these manifestations were part of my ADHD, and because I wasn't treating that, the root cause, they continued to exist in my life. But once I started treating the ADHD, the anxiety and depression really began to dissipate and improve my overall well-being. In reality, ADHD is not just simply a matter of paying attention or not paying attention. It's really about the brain's reward system. Individuals with ADHD struggle with accessing dopamine, a neurotransmitter that's essential for attention, motivation, and reward regulation. This dysregulation of the dopamine levels in people with ADHD impacts their ability to focus, it impacts impulse control, and it impacts motivation. So dopamine is a chemical that creates a sense of that aha moment. It's often experienced with excitement or even anticipation of excitement. It's that feeling you get, you know, right when you solve a problem or you figure out a unique way to solve a problem, which is also a symptom of ADHD. I also want to say that it's crucial to understand that ADHD is a multifaceted disorder and that dopamine is just one of the components of a larger picture. Other neurotransmitters like norepinephrine, along with genetics, environmental, and psychological factors all contribute to the development and the expression of ADHD. However, by recognizing that dopamine is the key element and that it's often deficient, we can actually employ strategies that are dopamine availability. So let's dive into the motivation for a bit. Now, many nice guys encounter challenges like lack of motivation, difficulty with impulse control, low self-esteem. And like I said, interestingly, these are also primary symptoms of ADHD. So it's not a reflection of our moral failings. It's simply how our brain operates. And then with that in mind, let's talk about how we can access more dopamine so that we have more motivation, we have less procrastination, and we have more impulse control. The ADHD brain, everything is categorized into two buckets: fun and important. Our brain is constantly questioning, is this fun? Is this important? Now, here's a little graphic that illustrates ADHD and the information processing. When someone asks me to do something, my brain evaluates. Is it fun? Yes, no. Is it important? Yes, no. Now, if something is both important and fun, it's a green light for me. For example, attending a men's retreat. I'm doing that in a couple weeks. And it's fun and it's important. It's important to my personal growth, but it's also really fun to get out into the desert and be with a bunch of guys. Then there are things and activities that are fun, but not important. Like, for example, social media, binge watching TV shows or playing video games. I label these as yellow because a little fun and not important, that's okay. But it's also a place that we can fall into addiction because of the intermittent reward system. In a video game, for instance, we sometimes get a dopamine hit when we win, but not always, which makes the brain want to try again for the reward because it knows it's possible. Many things in life are important, but not fun, which I consider a gray area. It's kind of like an overcast day. We tend to avoid these tasks because they don't give us a dopamine. For example, doing my taxes, paying bills, or going to a doctor's appointment. These are crucial and important, but definitely not fun and enjoyable. There's also things that are not fun and not important. This is the red zone. And these are the things that tend to be hell no's for us. For example, for me, going to an opera falls into this category. Not important, not fun. Now, somebody else might see that as important fun. Nice guys with ADHD often get stuck when tasks are important, but not fun. See, fun activities provide dopamine. And even when they're not important, we might justify them as important. For example, redesigning my business logo for the umpteenth time. Well, having a great logo is important. Constantly redoing it isn't that important. But because I think it's fun, I was sort of justifying it. I'm like, no, I've got to get this thing perfect. When things are not fun, but important, that's where we struggle. Because in these situations, there's no dopamine driving the motivation. And we see no reward in completing the task. In contrast, non-ADHD brains typically have more dopamine available. This allows the individuals to recognize the importance of a task and find some reward in just completing the task. ADHD also affects our perception of time. Like the fun, not fun, we see time as now, not now. Now is important. Not now is not important. For example, my wife will come to me. She's a planner and she's an expresser. So it'll be Wednesday and all of a sudden she'll say something like, "This Saturday, can you pick up the pine cones that are in the yard?" Now, my ADHD brain files that under not important because it's not happening right now. And I'll say, sure. But then Saturday morning arrives and my friend Mike invites me out for coffee. And my brain jumps to the, hey, this is now, this is fun. And so I'll say yes. But this leads to a conflict with my wife, who feels unheard and unimportant because I agreed to something on Wednesday that I pushed aside, and now she's calling me on it. She's saying, hey, on Wednesday, you told me you were going to pick up the pine cones on Saturday morning, and now you're going out to coffee with Mike. This way of processing can definitely get us into trouble. Now imagine if you had a lifetime filled with these types of incidents, where you're starting from a very young age and continuing through adolescence into young adulthood and into the present moment, people perceive you as maybe being unreliable, lazy, forgetful. Guess what? That's going to lead to a low sense of self-esteem and self-worth. The underlining core belief of the nice guy is I'm unlovable and unacceptable just the way that I am. And so if I have decades of these experiences, it just confirms that belief. And it's no wonder that this perception of the nice guy persona can become deeply ingrained into our psyche. Now, people with ADHD often are experts at adapting, a skill honed out of a necessity for survival. We are typically intuitive. We notice things that others might overlook. We're generally good problem solvers, and we often have a heightened sense of other people's emotions and reactions. These traits are adaptations and have become crucial to our survival. ADHD isn't a bad thing. In fact, it's a superpower. Now, these skills not only aided us as individuals, but people with ADHD have contributed to the advancement of humanity. Think about this. ADHD affects about 10 to 15% of the population. So 100,000 years ago, when we were in tribes, say there's a group of about 30 people, wouldn't it have been beneficial to have one or two of these people in tune to the changes of the environment to be able to alert the tribe? It's possible that individuals with ADHD were the shamans, the medicine men of the tribe, because again, they had more hypersensitivity and had more exploration and were great problem solvers. When I got the diagnosis of ADHD, I began to educate myself and educate other people around me so that they can understand that my forgetfulness, it's not intentional. It's just my damn ADHD. There are many strategies to manage ADHD. For instance, we can make a boring but important task more enjoyable by turning it into a game. Let's say I'm having trouble with workspace organization. This is important for productivity. I could start a clean desk challenge with my friends and colleagues. We could each put some money into a pot, and the person who maintained the neatest desk for the month wins the pot. Suddenly, organization becomes fun and important. Another example is you can hire professionals to help you in places that you're not that great at. For example, I'm not great at doing my taxes or keeping up with that. I hired an accountant. She takes care of all of that for me. She's always bugging me to get my stuff in. There's also medications that can help manage ADHD symptoms. Now, these aren't going to turn you into a super organizer, but they can give you some assistance. Now, my wife can always tell when I've forgotten to take my meds because I become more forgetful and more spaced out. We live in an amazing time where medication is available, so why not take advantage of it? And I understand that everybody has their own opinions about medication, but for me, it's been a game changer and a lifesaver. And if you're passionate about non-medication approaches, that's great. I would just challenge you to consider starting your own YouTube channel and share those things there. If you do suspect you might have ADHD, I encourage you to get it checked out. Talk to your doctor, get a referral for an evaluation. Just having the diagnosis can boost your self-esteem and your self-worth. It did for me. And I have seen it help others work for them as well. There are many great books about living with ADHD. It's also a great idea to work with a therapist or an ADHD coach to learn how to harness the superpowers of ADHD and optimize your dopamine levels are a great way to be able to manage and thrive in life. I also have an ADHD evaluation sheet. I'll put a link in the description below where you can get it. It's one of the best evaluations that I've ever found for adult ADHD. If you like this episode, please hit the thumbs up button, subscribe if you haven't already. And if you know someone who might benefit from this message, be sure to share it. Look, if you struggle with ADHD, you probably also struggle with time management. I did a little video a while back called Time Management is a Waste of Time. Do this instead. I'll put a link up here. Check it out. I give you some practical ways in which you can bring more balance into your life. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Nice Guy Recovery Podcast with your host, Chuck Chapman. If you're looking to take your Nice Guy Recovery deeper, be sure to check out www.chuckchapman.com to find out how you and I can squash your Nice Guy behaviors once and for all.